John chapter 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you've read in the Bible any at all, I'm sure you've read this Scripture many, many times. And I got to look at this Scripture. And I never really seen it like I saw it this particular time. Sometimes you look at Scripture, and you look at Scripture, and you look at Scripture, and it seems the same every time you look at it. Then all of a sudden, there comes a time when that God just shows you, reveals something that He hasn't revealed before, and that's kind of what He did here. And just kind of got to run some references on this verse here in St. John chapter number 14, verse number 19. 14:19. It is a very familiar verse. People sing songs about it. There have been songs written about it. And there's, it's just so real and everything. And I don't think Sister Lavina could have sung any better song than what she sung tonight. And thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Yeah. If there's ever been a song that's probably universal, I guess that would be one I'd pick out to be universal, Brother Condi. Yeah. I believe you could sing that in any country in the world and mean it. And be able to live it. Amen. I'm glad for the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. Amen. All right, in the book of St. John, chapter number 14, verse 19, we'll read that one verse and preach what we feel like the Lord's laid upon our heart. And we'll be as brief as possible. I think Brother Josh is going to take me out to eat afterwards. I think that's what he said. I think that's what he said. Amen. All right. John 14:19. The Bible says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more." Now, the disciples didn't understand this. They did not understand what the Lord was trying to say here. But He said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live," and this is what I want you to pay close attention to, the last part of the verse. He said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Because I live, ye shall live also. So I want to preach this thought tonight, because He lives. Because He lives. Now I'm looking at about four things tonight as to why, when He said here, yet a little while here, He said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." How is it that we can live? I believe He's given us about four things. If you'll run references on this verse tonight, if you've got a Scofield Bible, and run your references on this, you'll find about four things and four reasons why and how that we can live because He lives. Because He lives. And first of all, I believe we find, look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 7. We'll take a walk through the Bible tonight. In Hebrews chapter number 7, gives us the first reason how we can live because He lives. He said in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25. And the Bible said, well, let's read verse 23, throw that 23 and 24 in there too. "And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So the first thing I find tonight, the reason we can live, because he lived, the reason we can live also, because of his redemption. Because of redemption, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He paid the atonement. I mean, He sufficed an angry God. God was angry with man because man had sinned in the garden, and Adam sinned in the garden, sold us out, so to speak. But we're just as much a sinner as Adam was, and we needed to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And the only way that God could bring man back to Himself is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible said here, "Wherefore he is able," and I'm glad he is able. Now, to him is able to exceed abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his riches in glory. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ can do all things. I'm glad he can save to the uttermost, as the Bible said here. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost," as Brother Buster Seaton used to say, "from the guttermost to the uttermost." I mean, David said, "There I waited graciously before the Lord and inclined unto me. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a solid rock, established my goings, put a song in my mouth, even praised unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall turn unto the Lord. I'm glad that souls can get saved through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, first of all, because He lives, I can live also. And the way that I live tonight, the way that you live tonight, is because of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9:25, I believe it is, and almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And simply there is no forgiveness for sin. The Bible tells us, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm thankful tonight that because He lives, I can live also, but because of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God it's at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Condy's already said about that, he became poor that we might become rich. Rich in redemption, being saved by the marvelous grace of God. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the saving of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? What is the knowledge of the truth? The next verse tells us what it is. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. Boy, if the world could just get a hold of that, Brother Condy, they could be saved by the marvelous grace of God. There is but one God. Now, Oprah says that Jesus Christ is a way to heaven. I've got news for Oprah. Oprah just needs to simply get saved by the marvelous grace of God. I know Oprah's done some good works. I know Oprah's done some great works. But works ain't going to get you to heaven. Salvation is. A redemption is. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I've got news for her. Jesus Christ stood before Pilate. And Pilate said, what is truth? And Jesus Christ had already answered that question back in St. John chapter 14, where we read from tonight. In verse number 6, He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not a way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And because He lives, thank God, we can live also. And we live through Him because of His redemptive act. The fact that He appeased an angry God. He was the only one. Just suppose God searched through heaven. I don't know about all that. If He did search through heaven, I don't know if God even put out a search warrant or anything like that. But I'm glad Jesus Christ said, Father, I'll go and pay the sin debt. And that's exactly what He did. He paid the sin debt. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And you know, because of that, because of who He is, and because He is holy, thank God we can be holy. Because He's harmless, we can be harmless. Because He's undefiled, we can become undefiled. And because He's separate from sinners, we can be separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Thank God we can be made higher than the heavens because of the redemptive act of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. But yet we still need to realize, even though we've attained that through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we still need to realize that we're a sinner saved by the grace of God. If it were not for what Jesus Christ did, we'd still be in our sins and on our way to hell. But thank God tonight, because He lives. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. How do we live? We live because of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once. I like that. For this He did once. Once. One time for all forever. Once for all forever. That's all it took. Jesus Christ only had to offer himself one time. And I'm glad he offered himself that one time. And because of that, I'm glad I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. I don't have to get saved again and again and again and again. When the song says, I once was lost in sin, that's exactly what is meant. I once was lost in sin. But thank God, I'm not lost in sin any longer because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. I'm saved. And I'm saved throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. I don't have to get saved again and again and again and again. Yes, sir. Now, if that don't bode well with you, I take it up with the Scripture. Because that's what God's Word says. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 of John chapter number 1 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 of that same chapter says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God could not trust man with grace and truth. I mean, He couldn't even trust Moses with the law because Moses broke the law. Man broke the law. That's why we had to have the Lord Jesus Christ to come and die for our sins. So when he needed to put grace and truth on the earth, He sent the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the only one He could trust with grace and truth. Hallelujah. And I'm glad tonight because He lives, I live also. Because He lives, you live also because of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, look in the book of Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. I see another reason why. Because He lives, we can live also. Not through redemption, but there's a word called reconciliation. There's a word called a reconciliation. Now, if you've never really looked at this word, you need to look at this word. This word means a whole lot. You know what this word really means? This word reconciliation simply means that you took God's side against yourself. That's what it means. Reconciliation. Now, God didn't have to be reconciled because God did no sin. But you and I had sinned against the Holy God. And because we had sinned against the Holy God, we not only need to be redeemed, but we need to be reconciled back to God. And through being reconciled back to God, I'm glad that we did that through redemption, but not only through redemption, but through reconciliation. And what that simply means is that Jesus Christ took hold of God with one hand and took hold of a lost and dying world, a lost and dying sinner with the other hand, and brought us back into fellowship one with the other. That's why you don't need no priest to pray for you. That's why you don't need nobody to talk in your behalf, because of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the one who talks in your behalf. I mean, when we go before God, what Jesus Christ does, He just takes His robe off and steps out there in the front and talks to God in our stead and takes our place. I'm glad we've got two intercessors. One's the Holy Spirit of God, and the other is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, the Holy Spirit of God, when we pray, and the Bible says we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But when we do pray, and the Holy Spirit of God takes out that, as Brother Trapman, you say, handkerchief. He takes out that handkerchief, and when we pray, the Holy Spirit does this. What's He doing? He's erasing what we've said when we pray. Oh, you mean the Holy Spirit of God takes my prayer and erases it, even though all the tears I've shed? Yeah, because you know why? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows more what you need than you know yourself. And He takes that and He erases that. And He says, Father, this is Jesus Christ. This is what they really need. I'm glad He does it. Huh? I'm glad he goes to Jesus Christ on my behalf, and then Jesus Christ goes to the Heavenly Father. So you're crazy, brother. Read your Bible. It's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Bible says. Huh? Yes, sir. Read it. It's in the book of Romans there. Yes, sir. Romans 8, 26, 27. It's right there. It's right there in black and white. Huh? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's not talking about a sickness. That's not talking about cancer. Huh? That's not talking about you getting a call for anything like that. You have waking up with a headache. That's not the infirmity. It's talking about an infirmity to pray. We all have an infirmity to pray. And so the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you know, we don't understand those groanings, but you know who does? The Lord Jesus Christ does. Huh? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, Brother Danny Jenkins put it like this. Brother Josh walks in and he wants to talk to God. And Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit relates that to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ goes to God and he says, I've got a man here that wants to speak to you, God. Huh? And God says, well, is he perfect? Sorry about that. That's sanctified anyway. That's what Brother Langston always said. Brother Langston can use it. I can too, can't I? Oh, why I'm spitting tonight for? Must be something I ate today. Amen. Maybe I might quit eating the Belsinos, honey. But anyway, Josh says, Lord Jesus Christ says, I've got a fellow here by the name of Josh Sharp. He wants to speak to you. And God says, well, is he perfect? And Jesus Christ says, no, he's not perfect. And God says, well, I don't want to hear him. Now, hang on. I don't want to hear him. But Jesus Christ says, but Father, he's one that you gave to me. Amen. You didn't hear what I said, did you? Amen. But Father, he's one. He's one that I have redeemed. He's one that you gave to me. Huh? You know what God the Father says? God the Father and Jesus Christ just kind of raises the hands a little bit. You've heard those saying, talk to the hand. Huh? And when Jesus raises those hands, you know what the Father sees? He sees the blood stains. And God the Father says, I'll see him on your behalf. Huh? Yes, sir. What you saying there, preacher? I'm saying we've been reconciled. Huh? Jesus Christ took hold of God with one hand and took hold of the lost and dying world to a lost and dying individual that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God and brought us back into communion with the holy God. I don't have to have Connie Sharp pray for me even though I want him to. I don't have to have Brother Josh Sharp pray for me even though I want him to. I don't have to have my pastor pray for me even though I want him to. Thank God, Sister Vina, I can go in myself and talk to a holy God because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I've been reconciled back to God, I can talk to my Heavenly Father on my own and for myself. Yes, sir. You know why? I do want them praying for me, but not only them praying for me, because they might forget what I told them. Yes, sir. Has anybody ever asked you to pray about a certain matter, and you prayed about that matter, and all of a sudden you forgot about it? We've all done that. Guilty. We're all guilty. But you know the best time to pray for it is when God brings it back to your remembrance. I don't care if you're driving down the road. I don't care if you're sitting at home. I don't care what you're doing. Now I do say, if you're driving down the road, please don't bow your head and close your eyes. I suggest you don't do that. But do pray for it when God brings it to your remembrance. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, verses 6 through 11, the Bible said this: "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Here it is, verse 10: "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." And that's why we needed to be reconciled to God, because we were enemies of the cause of Christ. When Adam sold us out in the garden, we became the enemy of God. And those that are not saved are the enemies of God. You mean my brother that's not saved is an enemy of God? Sure he is. If it's my brother, he's not saved, he's an enemy of God, according to the Scripture. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more. I like them much more in Romans chapter number 5. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I'm glad we've been reconciled back to God because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everything that God did for us is all wrapped up in one word. And that word is salvation. That word is redemption. That word redemption is an Old Testament word, to be honest about it. Or the word salvation is an Old Testament word. The Bible said to stand still in the book of Exodus, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Neither is there salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. That word redemption means what? Deliverance. Same thing. So the Old Testament word for it is salvation. The New Testament word for it is redemption. But they mean the same thing. It simply just means to be delivered. And thank God we've been delivered. But thank God we live because he lives. We live through redemption. We live through reconciliation. That just simply means that Jesus Christ took hold of God with one hand and took hold of the dying lost world with the other hand and brought us back into fellowship one with the other. God taking hold of the world would have never worked. That's why you can't go straight to God. It takes going through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we could get to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a way to heaven, people. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is not a way to God. He's the only way to God. He's the only way we can get to God. And because of that reconciliation. And I'm glad that the Bible says that he has given us, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That simply means we're to help others be reconciled to God. We'll help others to come to God and get saved by the marvelous grace of God, that they might be redeemed and that they might be reconciled to God. Number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, because he lives. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. We live because of redemption. Through him, because of redemption. We live because of reconciliation. But I believe we live because of resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10. The Bible said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and thus also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. I'm glad tonight, not only because he lives, he said, therefore, because I live, ye shall live also. We live because of redemption. We live because of reconciliation. But thank God we live because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that some of these times we celebrate one time a year. But we ought to celebrate these every day of every year. It's all about Thanksgiving. I testified here the other, I think it was Wednesday night or Tuesday night. We had service on Tuesday night. We joined McMahon Baptist Church up in Sevierville. Brother Ray Williams is the pastor. And the best way to describe Brother Ray Williams is look for white hair. He's had white hair ever since I've known him, and I've known him now 50 years. But anyway, that's beside the point. I mean, we just need to be thankful. But Thanksgiving is not just the last Thursday or the fourth Thursday. Got it right that time, didn't I, honey? She corrected me the other night. She said, "You said one thing wrong when you was preaching." I started shouting. I should have been shouting. I only said one thing wrong while I was preaching, Brother Josh. Amen. Brother, I usually get more than that. And she said, "It's not always the last Thursday. Sometimes there's five Thursdays and it's the fourth Thursday." Okay. But the resurrection, huh? We ought to be not only thankful on Thanksgiving, we ought to be thankful every day. Huh? We ought to celebrate Thanksgiving every day. Huh? We ought to celebrate Christmas every day. What is Christmas? It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? We ought to celebrate the resurrection every day of our life. Because without the resurrection, where would we be? We'd be lost in our sins and on our way to hell. All these things are things that should be celebrated, not just one day a year, not just at Easter time, not just at Christmas time, not just at Thanksgiving time, but every day of every year. These things ought to be celebrated. Because where would we be without the fact that because He lives, we can live also. And we can live because of the resurrection. For we which will live are always. He said, "I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He said, "The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and destroy." He said, "But I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Huh? You know what I believe that means? I really believe that means that those who have life and enjoy the life that's been given them. I know some people's been given life, but they don't enjoy living. Huh? Do they still have that abundant life? I believe they do. But yet I don't believe they're enjoying it like they need to be. Huh? I know this ain't a word, but I'm having the funnest time of my life. Huh? I enjoy being a child of God. I enjoy being saved by the marvelous grace of God. Huh? You know why some people don't want to get saved? It's because a lot of saved folk walk around with what my pastor used to say, the mully grubs. Huh? They walk around with the mud. They walk around and put a look on their hand. A song I used to sing down church every once in a while. And the congregation would get to laughing because they thought it was funny. But I used to sing that song. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. That's the way we walk around a lot of times. Huh? Now I know we've all got problems. We've all got troubles. We've all got trials that we go through. But every once in a while, huh? Every once in a while, we ought to be able to lift that head up and say, "I'm saved." Amen. Huh? Yes, sir. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. And God has been so good to me. Every once in a while, I look at my wife and say, "Honey, go sing one of them 'God is so good to me' songs." Huh? You know why? Because God's been good to me. Oldest daughter married a preacher. Pastor's in America's Georgia, of all places. Huh? My wife's got another son-in-law who's the Sunday school superintendent at the Bays Mountain Baptist Church, leads the singing, teaches the adult Sunday school class. Huh? Yes, sir. You think I haven't been blessed? Got another daughter, not married yet, hadn't given her mom a third son-in-law yet, who teaches the little kids whenever they show up. Huh? Yes, sir. I've been blessed. Yes, sir. Two granddaughters. who also live in America's Georgia. Yes, sir. A wife who stands by me. Not behind me, but stands by me. Without her, Brother Condy, I wouldn't have the ministry I've got today. She corrects me every once in a while, and I don't mind that. Because you see, us preachers sometimes, Brother Josh, we need to be corrected. So when Davina corrects you, let her. Nine times out of ten, they know what they're talking about. Because see, they see things we don't see. They see things that we blow by, so to speak. Just like when we're reading Scripture sometimes, we'll blow by something in the Scripture, and then all of a sudden one day we'll take our time and we'll see something we didn't see before. There's times that she's had to correct me. You say, your wife does? Sure she does, and I'm glad she does it. Because sometimes I'm wrong. I'm not always right. Don't pass out, honey. But I admit it, sometimes I'm not always right. And we need to realize we're not always right. But the last thing tonight, we live because He lives, because of redemption, reconciliation, and resurrection. Let's go to St. John chapter number 17. St. John chapter number 17. Now there were some other verses leading up to St. John chapter number 17. But I want to point something out to you. And the last point is because of His righteousness. We live because He lives, we shall live also because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. John 17, verse 22, the Bible says, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father." "The world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." Notice what He said there, verse 25. "O righteous Father." We live because He lives. We live because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 5:19, somewhere along in there. He said that, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Remember the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made a statement there in St. Matthew chapter number 4. St. Matthew chapter number 3. He made a statement there. And I've wondered about that statement for a long, long time. Verse 15, he said, "And Jesus answered, saying to him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Now, baptism is not essential to salvation. There's a group of people that believe baptism is essential to salvation. Baptism is not essential to salvation, but it is a righteous act that God would have us to perform. And apparently, it's a very important righteous act. Now, it's not going to make you righteous. You're righteous because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. "For we have made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And He has imputed His righteousness unto us. And because we have been made righteous, baptism is an act of righteousness that everyone that's saved should take part in." And Jesus Christ thought it was such a righteous act that he took part in it himself. And he said, here, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Baptism is a righteous act that everyone that's saved ought to participate in. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. Because you remember, John said, you come to me to be baptized of me, and I need to be baptized of you. John wanted to be baptized of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, John, basically Jesus Christ just said, John, you need to baptize me. He said, because it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It was so important that Jesus Christ be baptized to help him to fulfill the righteousness of God, to help us to realize that this is a very righteous act, and that we that are saved, we need to participate in this righteous act, because it shows the world that we have died out to sin. What does that mean? That means righteousness. It shows the world that we have been made, and all righteousness simply is just simply being made right with God. It shows the world, when we get baptized, it shows the world that we have died out to sin. We go down into the watery grave, we die, so to speak, and come up a new and living creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not wash away sin. But it's an open show to the world that we have died out to sin. We've gone into the watery grave and we've come out. Now, I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I've been in some good baptismal services before. And the best one I probably ever was in was when I got saved, when I got baptized. Yes, sir. Why? Because of that righteousness, the righteousness of God. And I've never really seen it like that before. And I kept wondering about that. And wondering about, why is it that Jesus Christ said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Because baptism doesn't make you righteous. But it is a righteous act that the Lord Jesus Christ thought so much of. He wanted to fulfill it also. Letting us know that we should fulfill that also and take part in it too. So we say tonight, because he lived, because I live, ye shall live also. Because of redemption, because of reconciliation, because of resurrection, and because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we can live. And that's something else. We need to celebrate the fact that we've been made righteous. Why do we not have a day of celebration for that? Brother Josh, when you become president, make that a day of celebration. Yes, sir. So we can call Sister Davina the First Lady. Righteousness. Righteousness is important to God. Righteousness ought to be important to us. Because righteousness simply is nothing more than just simply being made right with God. And because we all have been made right with God, we need to walk in righteousness. His righteousness. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. But I'm glad, because he lives, we've been redeemed. We've been reconciled. We've been resurrected. Yeah, we've been resurrected. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We've been resurrected and will be resurrected if we go into the grave, into the tomb, whatever. One day after a while. And thank God we've been made righteous simply because he lives. With a condy, we can live also. We don't have to sit around like we're dead all the time. That ought to make an Episcopalian shout. That ought to make a good Baptist shout. Is the fact that because he lives, thank God we can live also. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Josh. I'm through preaching.